Here's the situation. If you have kids and you knew that your kid was at the last hour, last moments of your life, and you knew Jesus was coming into town, you weren't sure that he was the Son of God. You didn't know about his lordship. You just knew that he healed people and he did it 100% of the time. You may have issue with some of his claims, but you're going to see him. You're going to run after him because your son, your daughter, is in the last moments of their life. This is Jairus. He's a synagogue ruler, right? He may be in the crowd of people that are trying to trip Jesus up as he walks through the city other times. But in this moment, Jairus was so desperate that he had no other alternative but to go to this man named Jesus, whom he knew could heal the sick. And so his desperation, not only did he come, he didn't come to him in secret. Jairus came to Jesus while he was walking down the road, and not just by himself. The Bible says in Luke 8 that a crowd was gathered there because they knew he was coming and they were greeting him. So Jairus knew there was a crowd there, but because of his desperation, he went into the crowd, and he didn't just come up to Jesus and grab his shoulders and said, "You've got to come with me." The Bible says Jairus fell at Jesus' feet. That means all pride was gone. All stature obliterated. Every ounce of pride and honor this guy had went out the window because of his desperation in the moment. We have all been there on our faces crying out to God in our desperation, "God, I need you to fix it." This is where Jairus is. And now, so now Jairus, and you've got this counselor, you've got his full attention, right? You're square on with him, eyeball to eyeball. You're talking. You've got his full attention, and you're walking along the way. And Jesus says, "Yeah, let's go." Let's pick it up in verse 42 and 43. As Jesus was on his way, the crowd almost crushed him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. So now you've slowed down, and you know time is running out. Jairus is desperate. Here's the situation. Here's the two desperate lives colliding at the same time. Jairus is pleading with Jesus. Jesus agrees to go to Jairus' house. He's like, "Let's go." So on they go. I can just see Jairus holding on to his hand, to his arm, just to keep him focused as the crowd was pulling at him. And then all of a sudden, what comes on the scene next is another desperate woman, another desperate person who needed Jesus to fix it. Everybody said, "Fix it." And so here this woman is, doesn't give her name, but she's titled by her desperation. And the Bible says that she kind of was weaving through the crowd. In verse 44, let's look at it. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. So what just happened? She is hoping against all hope that Jesus is going to be able to fix her. So she works her way through the crowd and reaches past a whole bunch of other people just to give a tug on Jesus' robe, to get his attention. She's hoping that this will get his attention and maybe he will turn around and say, "Yes, what can I do for you?" But before he can even turn around, she realizes that she had been healed, but the story does not stop there. Look at, again at the next verse, verse 45. She realizes that she's healed immediately when she tugs on him, when she touched the hem of his garment. Verse 45, the story doesn't end there. It says, Jesus says, "Who touched me?" Now you can imagine, here's Jairus. He is desperately wanting Jesus to get to his house because his daughter of 12 is in the last moments of his life. He's got the attention of the healer. He's agreed to go with them to his house. And all of a sudden, this woman comes up behind him in a crushing crowd, hard enough for Jairus just to push him through. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that the disciples were all around Jesus, protecting him, pushing back the crowd. And this woman with the issue of blood for 12 years came up behind him just to get his attention. And as soon as she touches him, boom, she is healed. She feels vitality and health and strength come back into her life in a moment, in an instant. She was healed. And she was standing there. I just can't imagine her going, whoa, what just happened here? Now at that moment, she could have just turned around and got her healing and left. And Jesus could have went, man, I felt power leave me, but we got to get to Jairus' house. He stopped. And he said, who touched me? Imagine, it's a madhouse. Even the disciples said, what do you mean who touched you? There's people pressing in all around. How can you say somebody touched me? And Jesus said, somebody touched me. Let's look at verse 46. But Jesus said, someone touched me. I know that power has gone out from me. Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. Two people falling at the feet of Jesus in a matter of moments. In the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. Then he said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace. See, Jesus wasn't content with just healing the woman's body. He was interested in her heart. He wanted to counsel her. He wanted to give her some words with her so that she wouldn't wonder if her touching him was just coincidence or not. He wanted her to know specifically that your faith, daughter, has made you whole. He wanted to begin to rebuild her confidence that all of those years of being sick had robbed her of. And he gave her the time and the attention that she needed to know without a shadow of a doubt that that healing was for her. All the crowd was wanting his attention. Jerry is pulling at her, and he stopped. And eyeball to eyeball, in her desperation, he said, daughter, your faith has made you whole. Go and live your life fresh and anew. Isn't he saying that to us today still? That same invitation, that same healing, that same personal attention from the wonderful counselor is for us still today. That chaos may be going on all around us, but the Son of God, eyeball to eyeball, spirit to spirit, is wanting to connect with you. Meanwhile, Jairus, he is almost crushed with worry that they were not going to make it to his little girl in time. In the next verse, his worst nightmare is realized. And by the way, when you reach out for help to the wonderful counselor, you are no longer on your time. You were on his perfect timing always. That when you reach out for him to counsel, he is going to, in his perfect timing, make a way for you. And when the timing is right, there is no door that's going to be shut in your face. There's no demon that can hinder you. There's no lie that can rob you. It will be on time, in perfection, every single time. Can you give God a hand clap of praise this morning? Amen. He is on time every time. Let's look at verse 49. While Jesus was still speaking, someone came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler, and said, "Your daughter is dead." He said, "Don't bother the teacher anymore. Don't bother the teacher anymore. Your daughter is already dead." So what would you expect a normal counselor to do at this point? I'd expect him to say something like this: "I'm so sorry. I wish I could have done something for her. My intentions were to do that." That would be counsel at the normal level. But we are dealing with the wonderful counselor here. This is what he did. Let's look at verse 49 through 51. Hearing this, Jesus said to Jairus, "Don't be afraid. Just believe. Then she will be healed." Now, let me just stop right there. Jesus does not jump into the emotional chaos with us. Let me say that again. Jesus does not jump into the emotional chaos with us. Jesus said to Jairus when his servant came and said, "Your daughter has died. Don't bother the teacher anymore." This is Jesus' response. Listen, don't worry about it. Relax. She's going to be okay. Just want you to believe. Would you believe with me? Can you imagine how you would feel if someone came to you and said you didn't make it to the hospital in time before your son or daughter died? Imagine the chaos. Imagine the sheer desperation you would feel within your spirit. Jairus was feeling that at this moment, right? But here Jesus is. He's not freaking out. He's not panicking. He's saying, "Don't be afraid. Just believe, and she will be healed." Let's go on and read. When he arrived at the house of Jairus, he did not let anyone go in with him except Peter, John, and James, and the child's father and mother. Meanwhile, all the people were wailing and mourning for her. This is what Jesus said. He didn't just kind of go, "Oh, it's going to be okay, everybody." You know, he didn't do all that. This is what he did. Meanwhile, all the people were wailing and mourning for her. And Jesus comes in and he says, "Stop wailing. Stop crying. She is not dead, but asleep." This is a man who has it under control. Amen? When life looks the bleakest, when things in our life look impossible, when a place in your life is about to die and a time in your life is about to come to an end and you're mourning that, Jesus said, "Don't worry about it. Relax. It is not dead. It's just sleeping." He has everything under control. He's not freaking out. He's not panicking. He's not wringing his hands. He's not praying to God in heaven. He's saying, "Just believe. If you'll just believe, everything's going to be okay. It may not go out the way you want it to, but if you'll just believe, it's going to work out perfectly." And so, let's look at verse 53. Verse 53 tells us that they laughed at him, knowing that she was dead. Verse 54 says, "But he took her by the hand and said, 'My child, get up.'" The Bible says her spirit returned, and at once she stood up. The things that you think are dead in your life and that you have long forgotten, if you'll allow Jesus to step into that dead place, into that valley of dry bones, and believe, just believe for a minute, he'll call that thing that has been dead for so long in your life, to back to life. Amen. He will raise it up, put sinew and muscle and skin back on that thing. Give it purpose and life again. Amen. Because he is the wonderful counselor. Amen. Now you'd think Jesus at that moment would go, I thank you. I told you. Right? Listen to what Jesus does. I love this. When you read the Bible, don't just try to get through it. All right? Don't think you got to read chapters and chapters and chapters of stuff. If you just get stuck on a verse, just let it marinate in your life a little bit, because we miss some stuff in here. Let's look at verse 55. At that moment, Jesus, again, he could have took his bow and excused himself, and he would have been just go on his way, no problem. But then verse 55 happens. It tells us, then Jesus told them to give her something to eat. So he wasn't standing there ready to receive praise. He was going, listen, this child is emaciated. She hasn't ate in a long time. She's standing up. She's not lying there in a dramatic way with her eyes just cracked open. The Bible says instantly her spirit returned to her and she stood up, standing there. He says, Mom, Dad, I know you're happy. I know you're crying. Go get her something to eat. Go feed her. She hasn't ate in a while. She needs to gain her strength back up. He's still giving wonderful counsel. In the midst of cheers, in the midst of sobbing, in the midst of happiness, he's still giving counsel. He's still giving direction. He's still leading and guiding, because he is above emotion. He is above circumstance. His power is all around the earth, ready to give us that healing power and guidance of the wonderful counselor. Amen? 700 years before this ever happened, God looked into history and said, my son is going to be a counselor like no one has ever seen before. He's going to do things that no one has ever seen or saw before. I've got to tell people about it. Amen? Would you please stand with me this morning? All throughout the Old Testament, not just in Isaiah, God was speaking in to the prophets glimpses and shadows of his son's return. And here in Isaiah, we get a beautiful picture of who he is. I hope that every time you see the manger, you'll think not just about a little baby, but a God. That a God that goes beyond your desperation. A God that is above the fray. A God that not only is above the fray, but wants to counsel you. Wants to give you wonderful counsel. Even in the smallest things of your life. You know why? Because you can't see what that decision's going to do down the road. You think you've got it worked out, but only God knows the end from the beginning. Amen? From A to Z, he's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I've given this analogy before. How many of you guys have ever been to those corn mazes, right? How many of you guys ever got lost in the corn maze, right? You just started walking through the corn. You're like, I'm getting out of here, right? Sometimes in those corn mazes, there's a tower in the middle of it, and there's somebody up there with a bullhorn watching for people that are getting frustrated and can't get out. And so they'll have that bullhorn, and they'll turn it on, and they'll say, take a left, take another left, and a right, go straight, and you're out. How ridiculous would it be if we argued with the man. Right? Because he knows how to get out. And so we're frustrated. We even got the map. We're kicking corn stalks. And we hear the guy giving us counsel, but then we argue with him and say, no, the map says right. But we do that. We do that with our Heavenly Father. We hear His voice when we ask Him in our desperation for direction, for that wonderful counsel. And when it doesn't make sense to us, we argue about it. When He gives us an answer we don't want to hear, we complain about it. But remember, His counsel is always wonderful. It may not be the wonderful that you have envisioned in your mind, but His wonderful will transform your life. And so I hope that every time you see that manger, you'll think not just of a little baby, but of a God, of a wonderful counselor. He is that counselor that is concerned about every detail of your life. And I pray every morning when you get up, every time you face a decision or a challenge that is in your life, that you will stop and call upon that wonderful counselor. Because He cares for you. He loves you. His plans are for your good and not your harm. Even in your pain, He can bring about beauty. Even in your struggle, He is making you strong. Learn to call on that. Learn to expect that. Teach your spirit to call upon that wonderful counselor. Train your heart. Train your mind. Train your spirit to call upon Him. It's okay to get counsel. It's okay to call me and ask me for advice, or Pastor Johnny, or one of our elders, or whatever. But let your first go-to be to the wonderful counselor. God can speak through me to you. He can speak through you to me and give us the direction and the wonderful counsel that we need. But we need to go to Him. We need to ask, we need to seek, we need to knock, because the Bible says the door will be open to us if we knock. Amen? Those who seek me will find me. Those who seek my counsel will receive it. Those who are asking for that mountain to be removed will have it removed, but we have to ask. Amen? Would you bow your heads with me this morning? Maybe today you don't know the wonderful counselor. Maybe today is your moment in time that God has divinely and uniquely placed you right here at this moment to receive from the wonderful counselor salvation and forgiveness. Today, if you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can get to know Him today, right now. So here's what I want us to do. I want us to pray together. If you look up at me right now. If you say, Pastor Jimmy, I need that wonderful counsel this morning. I need it. Maybe you're in a desperate place and you need God's counsel. Would you just raise your hand? Just let me see it all across the room. Yeah, if you need it. We all need His counsel in our life. We need His guidance every day. God, let me not waste one day in worrying, because in the chaos, You've got time for me. In the chaos, when I'm falling at Your feet, You recognize me. You're directing me. You're giving me food to eat. You're restoring my health again. You're making me new. Amen? So this is what I want us to do together. I want us to pray together. And as we pray, I just want you to, whatever it is that you need counsel, call upon the wonderful counselor this morning. Amen? Amen. Let's pray together. Pray after me. Father God, we call upon you, the wonderful counselor, into my life. Forgive me of my sin. I receive you today as my Lord and my Savior. I fall at your feet in desperation, removing all pride. I submit to you today. I desire counsel from you. And today I humbly receive it, despite what you say. I receive it in Jesus' name. Now, Father, I just cover each and every person in this place today. My God, may they call upon you, the wonderful counselor. Lord, may they learn to be directed by you. May they learn to not make one decision without your counsel. May they learn to recognize the peace or lack thereof when making decisions. May they hear your voice ringing in their spirit through the Word of God, through the preaching of the Word, through may they hear your voice through each other as we encourage and sharpen each other as iron sharpens iron. May we recognize your voice in our lives. In our desperation, may our spirit connect with you, knowing that you have stopped in the middle of chaos and you're attentive to me. And so, Father, give direction for those today that need it. May they find it in you today. May their looking be over. And those that have received you as Lord and Savior today, may their lives never be the same. May the peace and the joy of God be theirs, because now they are now sons and daughters of God, heirs and co-heirs with Christ Jesus. We are now right with Jesus. All benefits that he has are ours. And so, Father, we receive you today joyfully, your counsel, your wonderful, wonderful counsel. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 I'm going to ask some of our prayer partners, if you would, come up right over here and over here. And if you receive Christ today, come up and tell one of us so that we can direct you in your walk with God. If you need prayer about anything today, and your decision to follow Christ, or if you need counsel, please come today and let us pray over you. Amen? Amen. Listen, God bless you guys. Thanks for braving the snow, all right, and coming out and being with us. Enjoy one another's company. Meet right here Wednesday at 6:30 as we deck the halls at New Freedom, all right? God bless you guys. You are dismissed.